start reading here in verse number 23. We're going to go down through here and address a scripture verse that Paul brings out of the Old Testament to speak to the Jewish leaders there in Rome. Remember that Paul has been on this ship. He is heading to Rome now. The Lord told him back, I think in Acts chapter 21 or 22, that you're going to go to Rome. You're going to testify at Rome. And we wonder whether he was going to make it, but he did make it. That ship gets wrecked on the island of Melita. Things happen there. Now they've arrived here in Rome. And when they get here to Rome, Paul is given a house. He's under house arrest. You see that in verse number 30. He dwells two whole years in his own hired house, but he's under house arrest. And he calls the Jews together. We talked about this last week, to talk to the Jewish leaders there in Rome. So Jews are spread throughout the world in different places. That's why wherever Paul would travel and go, he would first go to the synagogue. That's where the Jews in different parts of the world are meeting, in the synagogues. And so he's called these Jews together. And let's start here in verse number 23. It says, "And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning until evening." Probably about a 12-hour time frame here, from morning. Oh, I didn't put my microphone on. From morning until evening. So there's a roughly here a 12-hour period here in verse number 23. He expounds the scriptures and he testifies of the kingdom of God and persuades them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. You think, wow, is there that much material? Oh my, there's enough material to go for probably a month. You know, if you start back in Genesis and all the things, when you stop and think about all the things that are pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, all the things going back to Cain and Abel, going back to Noah and the ark, going back to the sacrificial system, all the things that are designed and laid out by the Lord to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ, Isaiah chapter 53, and all of the prophets. We read some of those here this morning in that responsive reading. But from morning till evening, there was no New Testament then. There was no New Testament, so he's taking the Old Testament and he's bringing out here about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, "And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not." So there's a mixed bag back and forth. Some are hearing the information and believing it. Some are hearing the information and not believing it. And then Paul responds to the people, and especially to those who are not believing, here in verse number 25. "And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers." Now, this is back in Isaiah chapter 6. We're going to look at it a little bit later. "Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Now, this is the culmination, we could say, of Paul's life. He's about ready to get killed. He tells Timothy, "My departure's at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course." And so he's giving kind of a summation here. "I have gone to the nation of Israel, and hearing, they cannot hear me. And seeing, they cannot see. And he mentions here their heart. The heart of this people is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed. And this is kind of the summation of Paul's, and I believe being led of the Spirit of God, as it's written here in the Word of God, his summation of the Jewish people. And I'm just going to say this. We ought to really consider this morning, and I want to press this upon our hearts, maybe even the summation of the church today here in our society, in America, and around the world. At the end, just like in the Old Testament, they were coming to the end of the Old Testament. We're now approaching the end of the New Testament, and you find this to be the case. People are hearing, but they cannot hear. They are seeing, but they cannot perceive, because the heart of man is becoming gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed. And I'm going to try to demonstrate that to you here this morning, and maybe we can examine our own hearts. But there's three body parts here that are central: ears, eyes, and heart. And they're mentioned here a number of times. Ears, eyes, and hearts. If you look at verse number 26, he says, or he quotes the prophecy saying, "Go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand." Hearing, but it does not register. You know what that's like? Hearing something, but it does not register with you. Now, I'm going to give you this illustration. Some of you are new here this morning. You've never heard this illustration. Some of you have, so bear with me. It's probably my favorite illustration to tell because it's such a beautiful application of this very thing. Jesus said, "If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." What does it mean to have ears to hear? Some people have ears, but they cannot hear. Well, I heard this story by Larry Zook, Larry and Jewel. They're living out in Iowa. Brother Anthony's not here with us this morning, and he would know them well, Anthony Zook. But Larry told this story. Larry and Jewel, young couple, and they were about ready to have a little baby, and they did. They had a little baby. I don't know whether it was a boy or a girl. Larry was a man who had a greenhouse, big greenhouse business out in Iowa. And so they went to bed one night. They just had a newborn baby, and it was springtime, and Larry was getting ready for his greenhouse and getting ready to sell his products. And they went to bed, and as they were sleeping that night, the little baby, which is just there in their room, whimpered a little bit, and all of a sudden Jewel wakes up, and she goes and she ministers to that little baby. And after ministering to the baby, she lays back down and dozes off a little bit, and an hour or so later the baby whimpers and fusses a little bit, and immediately Jewel wakes, and she goes and ministers to the baby, and she does this throughout the night, 3, 4, 5 times during the night. And then about 5 o'clock in the morning, Larry had set his alarm clock to get up for an important meeting with regards to his business. He had to get up early and travel for a meeting. And about 5 o'clock in the morning, there was a beep, 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 beep. Larry heard it, woke up, hit his alarm clock. And he got up. He got dressed, showered and dressed. And a little later on, Jewel gets up, knowing he's trying to fix breakfast for her husband. And they're out on at the kitchen table. And they're just talking as they're eating. And Jewel says to Larry, "Larry, did you hear the baby all night fussing and carrying on?" And Larry honestly looks at her and says, "I didn't hear anything." And they talk about that. "Larry, why didn't you hear? I was up all night." And then Larry turned to Jewel and said, "Jewel, did you happen to hear my alarm clock go off this morning?" And Jewel said, "No, I never heard it. Never heard it." Now think about that for a minute. Here are two people laying in the same bed. A baby whimpers. That vibration, you know, that goes into the ear, we pick up. That vibration goes into both ears. They both hear the same vibrations. It wasn't like the baby only sent the vibrations to Jewel and didn't send it to Larry. The vibrations went into the whole room there, but one person picked it up. Now Larry heard it. The same vibrations went into Larry's ear. He heard it, but he didn't hear it. Jewel heard it, and she heard it. She really heard it. It resonated in her heart, and in her mind, so much so that it moved her to action. And that's important, you know. When you really hear it, it moves you to action. Faith without works is what? It's dead. Well, then Larry's there in bed, and beep, 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 beep. That same vibration went into Jewel's ears. And Jewel heard it just as much as Larry heard it. But you know what? Jewel didn't hear it. And she kept sleeping. But Larry quickly woke up, and he hit the alarm and got ready because that was important. He needed to get ready for a business meeting. How does one person hear and not hear, and another person hear and do nothing and not hear at all, or hear and respond? I want to give you a picture. Some of you have probably seen this picture. Jesus said, he goes on to say, not only hearing, but some of you see, but you don't perceive. You see, but you don't perceive. Got a couple pictures for you this morning. You've probably seen this. What do you see there in that picture? I'm going to ask you in a minute what you see. How many of you see a young woman looking away from you? How many of you see a young woman looking away from you? How many of you see an old woman in that picture? Ooh, now wait a minute here. Those of you who see an old woman, do you see a young woman? You can't see a young woman? You can't see a young woman. How many of you who see a young woman can't see an old woman? You can't see an old woman there. She's right there in front of you. Why can't you see it? Why is it that someone right behind you sees it and you can't see it? You ever wondered why that is? What do you see here? Similar. How many of you see here a young woman? Raise your hand. How many of you see an old woman here? Those of you who see an old woman, can you see a young woman? Do you know there's both an old woman and a young woman in that picture? But here's an amazing thing. I can sit here and, like with James up here, and say, what do you see there, James? Old woman or young woman? Come on, James, what's wrong with you? It's as plain as the nose on my face. Can't you see that?
I'm broken.
And you know, it's interesting that sometimes we wonder why people can't see things. How is it, think about this for a minute, how is it that two people can hear the same sounds and one understand it and the other not? Some not even hear it. How is it that two people can see the same sight and have different perceptions or it's different perspectives? How is it that Paul can preach to a group of Jewish peoples and some believe the words and some believe not? How can two people see different things? You know why the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word should be established? Because we look at things differently. And we have different perceptions. A couple years ago, my wife and I, some of you probably saw this, there was a thing that went across the internet. There's an elephant. And someone showed me this on their phone. What color is it? And I said, well, it's a green. And they showed it to my wife, and my wife said, it's not green, it's pink. Didn't anybody see that? I mean, literally, I said, honey, that's the greenest elephant I've ever seen. And she said, no, that's pink. And it's all because of the perceptions that we have. And so here Paul is, he's speaking. People are hearing the vibrations. They're coming into their ear. Some, it blesses them, and they believe. Others, they believe not. What determines whether you hear and whether you see? Well, it's that third instrument, that third member, the heart. the heart. The heart. Now, going back to the Larry and Jewel example here, and I had this happen. The Lord let me do this here this morning. I'm sure I stopped at the dollar store, and I picked up some things this morning for our Lord's Supper. And I go to the counter, and there's, you know, no person there to take my money and everything, and there's a little bell. And the bell says, you know, ring the bell if you need service. And so I hit it, and I barely hit it just to make a little ting. And I figured it's not hard, loud enough. But clear back in the back of the store, I hear someone saying, coming. Wow, how'd she hear that? I barely heard it up here. You know how she heard it? Because back in the store, her heart is listening for it. I've got to make sure that no customer's up there and is waiting. I'll listen. And as she's working, her heart is listening, leaning toward that bell. And I thought, wow, I barely heard it standing right here. She's in the back of the store, and she picked it up. How does Larry pick up the alarm clock and Jewel doesn't? Because Larry went to bed that night, and his heart was leaning toward the business meeting. And therefore, he picked up the thing that was sensitive to his heart, that was meaning, not to say that the baby was not meaningful to Larry, but it was meaningful to him, this business meeting. Of course, Mom went to bed and her heart was with the baby. And every little movement or sound, Mom picked up. Because that's where her heart was. It was leaning in that direction. When you think about the heart, you think about the mind, the will, and the emotion of a human being. That's what the heart is. Not so much this member here in our chest, but the mind, the will, and the emotion. The condition of the mind. What is on your mind at the time is what you're able to pick up. For example, some of you sit here this morning and your mind is off somewhere in some sporting event or some vacation you're planning, and your mind is in different places, and you hear what I say, but it will not profit you a lick. You're going to go out from here, and I was in church, and I sat there in the pew, but I didn't get anything out of it. Well, your mind is not here. Another thing that's necessary is your will, the condition of your will. You know, we see what we want to see. We hear what we want to hear. If you're watching the news nowadays, you see this happening all over the place. If you're a Democrat, you don't want to see President Biden old and feeble and slurring speech and doing, because you're a Democrat. You're on one side of the aisle and you're trying to see past the problem. If you're a Republican, you see every little slip up because you're on the other side of the aisle and you want to magnify the problem. A lot determines where your heart is. The condition of your emotions or where you are emotionally. There are many ladies that go to bed at night. This happens in our house. Maybe it happens in your house. Maybe the lady's heart has fear in her heart, and so she goes to bed and, honey, wake up. Did you hear that sound? What sound? Don't you hear it? I don't hear anything. I'm going back to bed and back to sleep. Why is that? Fear. Emotional fears bring up sounds that are heard but other people don't hear. And so we all have a filter in our heart. And if I would draw this on the board here, people hear, they see things. And it goes through this filter and comes out the other side. And a lot of things are in our hearts. And so as Paul is speaking here, he's speaking to people who hear him, who see him, but they don't hear and perceive that which is truth. And these hearts here, and we all have one, they're like a lens which we see through, and those lenses have past experiences we have to deal with, that we see life through a perspective, our past experiences. We see life through culture. We see life through our failures and our successes. We see life through traumas. We see life how we were taught as a child. You remember the Catholic Church says, give me a child to age 5 and I'll have him the rest of his life. You know, we see life oftentimes through how we were taught in our youth. You know, we've seen this example. Paul grew up a Jew. He had a culture that he was very attached to. And when the Lord said, they're not going to hear you. Remember back in Acts chapter 21, the Lord says, go to the Gentiles. The Jews aren't going to hear you. Paul couldn't get past that. He couldn't hear that because he still wanted to go back to the Jewish people. And his will overrode his reasoning. And we saw how he got off path there and went back to Jerusalem. And you find this with young people. You know, young people were entering into courtships, and you know how it is in a courtship. You're in love, and so this person that you're looking at doesn't have any problems, and everything is wonderful. And you know why that is? Because this heart here has got a lot of love in it. And so you overlook things, and you magnify the positive and overlook the negative because of your heart. But if your heart is 10 years later bitter and unforgiving, then you look at this person totally different. Not that the person changes, but that the heart has been changed. And so here you have people looking at Jesus. Some of them are seeing him as Messiah, and some of them are seeing him as a deceiver and a false prophet based upon their filter and how they look and how they hear. Hearing and yet not perceiving. I was sitting Tuesday, Brother Chris will remember this probably, we're sitting there underneath our tent there at our mission meal. And I had George, which is a regular, he's been coming for a year and a half, 2 years on this side. And I had a man that comes occasionally, but he was there with some malt liquor. He's an alcoholic, he's basically drunk all the time. And he's sitting over here, and Chris is here, and I'm here, and we're just talking. And in the midst of our conversation, I was sharing a little bit about the Bible. In the midst of our conversation, I said something like this. Well, I quoted the verse, and you shall know the truth. And I didn't get it finished. Both of these two said, and the truth shall set you free. Remember that? And I thought, wow. Here are two men who hear the word. They know it. It's in their heart. But it doesn't affect them at all. They're both in bondage. And yet, they hear it. They know the verses. And yet their life is in bondage. And so the issue here this morning is in the heart. And every one of you here have a heart, and every one of you have conditioned your heart. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, right? Your perspective of life determines what you're allowing into your heart, because you're going to see and look at everything through that heart. Boy, I was so grieved last night. Brother Chris can tell you this. We went to a birthday party with one of the young people that come on Tuesdays, and oh, so grieving. The music, the language, the things that were going on there. There was about 15, 20 people when I was there. Chris came a little bit later. And I sat there and I thought, how can these children make it? How can they make it? Their hearts are being so filled with a mess. I mean, the cursing and the music was just disgusting. And these kids just caught up in it all, and just, wow. Not that I want to lose hope, but keep your heart with all diligence. Some of you children don't realize how good we have it here. Keep your heart with all diligence, because everything goes through the heart, and that's how we get our perceptions. That's how we get our understanding of situations in life. A good example in the Bible is this: rebuke a wise man and he will what? Love you. Rebuke a scorner and you get a blot. Now, how can you rebuke the same rebuke in two different hearts and it be perceived two different ways? Because the heart's in different places. Why could not the Jews see Jesus in the preaching of Paul?
even though Jesus, even in his life, he was clearly manifested before them, why could they not see him? Seeing, they had eyes, but they could not perceive. Hearing, they had ears, but they could not understand. Why was that? Because of the condition of their heart. As a matter of fact, the first parable, and we'll look at it in just a minute, the first parable Jesus gives them is the basic, this basic thing. My word will fall on your heart, and your heart is one of four conditions. And those conditions will cause you to respond in four different ways because of your heart. And here in our church, there are people who have one of those four hearts, the condition. You're either hard-hearted, your ground is either stony, your ground is thorny, or you have good ground. And the good ground is they that hear the word and understand it and bring forth fruit. It gets them up out of the bed and stomps the alarm clock and moves them. It gets them up out of the bed to go to that whimpering child and moves them. It causes a response. James says, you hear the word and do not do it, you deceive yourself. Deceive yourself. My question for us here this morning, and I asked this question 3 years ago, when we go through the book of Acts, is it going to change us? Is it going to change us? And how much have we been changed by 3 years of going through this book? How much has it truly changed us? You know, the Jews, when they looked at Jesus, they could only see an old woman. That's all they could see. They couldn't see the Messiah. And so the issues of the heart, they cloud our perception. Look at verse 27. For the heart of this people is wax gross. The heart is wax gross. And that word wax gross means it's thick and calloused. And you've heard me tell this illustration about my feet. You know, my feet are very sensitive and very tender. And I can't go out and walk on the stones out there. I'll be screaming because my feet are real soft and tender, but my children can go run across there and it won't even bother them. And the reason is because of the callousness of the bottom of their feet. And that callousness was brought on in time. And I've told you this illustration, but I'll just remind you again. The reason why my feet are not callous is because when I step on those stones, I go, ouch, that hurts, I'm getting off. And I keep my feet nice and tender. But some of you young people, you've done this with your feet. You went out there the first time. It's, ouch! You know, that hurts. Then you said, but I want to keep going. I don't want to wear my shoes. And after about a week of ouch, it becomes, oh, that hurts, but it's not that bad. Then it becomes, oh, I can hardly feel it anymore. Then it becomes, I don't even know I'm running on stones. And you're completely calloused. That's what happens to the heart. You hear the preaching of the Word of God and you say, ouch, I'm convicted, I need to change my behavior. And those of you who say that, you keep your hearts tender and you say, Lord, I made a mistake here, I confess it. You get on your knees and you humble yourself and you weep and say, God, forgive me. You have a tender heart. Those of you who say, ouch, and you say, well, it's not that bad. I'm going to keep going that direction. And then, ouch. Brother Jerry, you shouldn't be talking about that subject, but I'm kind of going to go that direction anyway again. And ooh, and then pretty soon it's like you can preach on that subject and you don't even realize that you're doing anything wrong. Like it doesn't bother you anymore. That's the sad thing about church life. You can get to the place where preaching doesn't bother you anymore at all. The Word of God has no effect upon the heart. It's like I'm not even sensitive anymore to the Word. Don't you remember when you got in the Bible earlier when you were a babe and you read and just kind of were broken and everything just moved you and oh, Lord, I'm so far short. Lord, I got to change. Lord, this and this. And ears that are dull of hearing. Children, I have a children's lesson this morning. See this? Well, this will get your attention. You know, they sharpen stones. You know, they sharpen stones with stones. I sharpen knives with stones. You know what? If this stone, and obviously I just picked this up outside, this is not one to sharpen a knife with children, but if this knife is placed on a stone at a proper angle, it'll sharpen it. sharpen it. That stone will sharpen this knife. However, that same stone will dull it. All depending on the angle that this knife rubs against the stone. This morning as I preach, your heart is set at a certain angle. This stone here is trying to break your heart. It's either going to break it or it's going to dull it. Based upon the angle in which the Word of God comes to you. Hey, if you're kind of half careless here today and just go to church because you want to fellowship with people and have a nice meal and your kind of mind is elsewhere, you're going to dull the heart. The heart is going to dull. It's like taking that knife across the top of this stone and just dulling it. Oh, I was there. I was there in church and I'm being dulled more and more. That's a dangerous thing. But if you came here this morning, you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, your heart is leaning. Lord, teach me this morning as the preaching comes, as the singing, I want to hear. My heart is at a good angle to receive. You're going to get sharpened. That's what you want to be. You want to be sharpened. What angle is your heart set at today when you come here and receive the Word? Those who are hungry and thirsting after righteousness, they're going to be sharpened. This book will change your life. And those of you whose hearts are elsewhere and have interests, it's going to dull you. So, let's face reality. The same people sitting in this service this morning, some of you are going to be sharpened and some of you are going to be dulled. Amen. Based upon where your heart is. I want to read to you here the first parable that Jesus gave. You can turn, if you'd like, to Mark chapter number 4. We're going to look at another passage here in a minute. Mark chapter 4, it says this, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground." By the way, these are all hearts where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. We're experiencing that in the gardens right now. You know, we're battling with these weeds to try to keep them from choking out the fruit. And then verse 8, "And other fell on good ground and did yield forth fruit, sprang out and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Boy, you take a soft heart, a heart that is hungering and thirsting after righteousness. You want that heart just blossom. You want that life become fruitful. Look at verse 10, "And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable, and he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done unto them in parables, that," notice this, "that seeing they may not see, or they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand." Same concept. In other words, you disciples, you have a passion for truth. You love my word. God is going to open to you and give you perception and understanding, but these, their interests are elsewhere, and it's hid from their eyes. And he goes on later on here and expresses. Look down to verse 19. Here's where we have our struggles. Verse 19, "And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches," I'm going to make a lot of money, "and the lust of other things," pornography, "entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." There's so many things and interests that we have in our hearts that the Word of God comes in, but we don't hear it. Because the heart can be waxed gross. Verse 20 says, "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit." I have a friend down in St. Clairsville. His name is Ron Lepick. I haven't talked to him for a little bit, but he used to call me on a regular basis. And we were friends with the family, and Ron and I spent a lot of time together spiritually. He loves the Word. But one time he called me. He calls me on a rotating basis every couple of months. He said, you know, brother, he's probably 50 years old, 55 now. He says, you know, brother, I don't know. He's a teacher. He teaches a lot at the church he's at down in St. Clairsville. It's a friend's church, I believe it is. But he said, you know, I sometimes wonder if I'm doing the church a disfavor. He said, because it seems like I'm teaching, but no one is profiting from it. And I wonder if it's making them more and more dull to the truth. Their hearts are becoming waxed gross and dull. Turn with me to Isaiah 6, because here's where this quote that Paul draws out comes from, here in Isaiah chapter 6. You say, where did Paul get this Old Testament quote that he mentions to the Jewish people there in Acts 28? Well, it's back here in Isaiah chapter 6. I don't want to read the whole story, but Isaiah gets a vision of the Lord, and this incredible vision, and sees the Lord on the throne. And verse number 5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I. We see this on some of the walls there of people's homes. Here am I. Send me. In other words, Isaiah says, Lord, I'll go. Send me on this mission. Now notice what he says, what the Lord says to him, because this is the quote that Paul uses. Here's where Paul draws it out. Verse 9. And he said, go and tell this people, hear you indeed, but understand not. And see you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. In other words, Isaiah, I want you to go, but I want you to go to a people that won't hear you. You can preach all day long. They're not going to hear you. But what I want you to do is I want you to make their, notice what it says, make the heart of this people fat and their ears heavy. God said that. Make them fat. Make them heavy. Then as you and I would probably say if we're in Isaiah's position, Lord, verse 11, then said I, Lord, how long? How long do I have to do this? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. You know what? This right here is a form of judgment upon people. It's a judgment. God says, I'm going to judge this nation because they've had so many opportunities to hear, so many opportunities to see. And now, the fact that they don't take part and produce fruit, as our brother said, the tree, fig tree, I'm going to close this thing down. And that's why, you know, we ought to be very concerned in our own hearts, my heart, your heart. Does the Word of God actually move us, change us, conform us into the image of Christ? Or are we simply listening and dulling our spiritual heart to where we're now wax gross and we cannot even hear. You see, but I hear what you're saying, but is it moving you to change your life? That's what the word understand and perceive means. Hey, I got to change. I got to get up from this bed when I hear the alarm clock, and I've got to move. And that's the issue. It's not just to be here and hear. It's to be here. And even when you read your Bible, just to let the Bible move you to change your behaviors. Sometimes, just like going and preaching on a college campus, Say, why do you do that? Nobody's listening. Because I'm making people's hearts fat, waxing them gross. God is judging people. I think he's judging America. He's judging America to the place where nobody hardly anymore hears anymore and perceives and understands what's happening in our world. And they're not changing. And the heart of people are waxing gross. By the way, he's not talking here about a bunch of heathen Gentiles. He's talking about his people, the nation of Israel. Which brings me back to this question. How is the Word of God benefiting you in a very real way? You know, could we stand up here, and maybe we should do this, brother? Here's where I'm changing my life in the last 2 months, the last 6 months, the last year. That God is moving me, and I'm changing this and changing this and changing this. That's a good sign. I mean, if you can sit here and say, I am seeing things in my life that need change, and I am moving in the right direction. Here's where I'm changing this. Here's where I'm repenting of this. God is speaking to me in this way, and you're moving and changing. Praise God for it. But if you're sitting here in years and years, and it's like, I don't know. I mean, I go to church, but I read the Bible, but I just don't seem to be moving anywhere. That's a problem. Amen. That's a serious problem. Because we're supposed to be conforming into the image of His Son, and if that conforming process has stopped, we ought to stop and say, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Let's go back here to Acts 28. And keep reading. Acts 28 and verse 28 says this, be it known therefore unto you, the Jews, that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. I like that. The Gentiles are going to hear it, and they're going to understand it. You know why they're going to hear it? Because they're not dull of hearing. They have been preached to 1,000 times. They have been down to the temple and heard the rabbi speaking 1,000 times and rejected and rejected and rejected. They are fresh ground. They are hungering. They want to hear the truth. Boy, they'll hear it. Back in, we didn't comment on this much here, but back earlier in the book of Acts, I'm going to read to you a passage here. Paul's been teaching the Jews, and they're not hearing it. They're persecuting him. But there are some Gentiles who are hearing. In Acts 13, verse 42, it says, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Preach to us. We love hearing this truth. The Jews, Gentiles, we're coming back next week. You preach to us. Yeah, you can see the hunger and thirsting of the Gentiles. They'll hear it. You know, one of the dangers of having a lot, you know how it is in America, everybody's, they have so much. They have these kids, they have phones, they have food, they have all kinds of junk, is you lose the appreciation for what you have. And if you don't have anything, boy, you appreciate it when you get it. And the danger of us in America is we have so much. We have preaching, we have teaching, we have videos, we can hear this and that. We have food, we have clothes, we have cars, we have houses, we have it all. And it just can make you dull. Lacking an appreciation. This is the Word of God. Change me, Lord. I'm hungering. I'm thirsting. By the way, just because you have a lot doesn't mean you can't keep hungering and thirsting. And have more. Well, the Gentiles will hear it. In verse 29, and when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Now, Paul would have been out preaching in the streets and in the markets and wherever he had opportunity, but because he was a captive in his own hired house, there was a soldier staying with him, he couldn't go out. So what does he do? Does he get the mully grubs and say, well, I can't do anything for Jesus? No, he says, I want to invite him in. So people are coming to his house for 2 years. And he's teaching them, preaching them, preaching to them the truth. And I like how it says it. And some of these words, I know we sometimes struggle with these words. Verse 31 says, with all confidence. Confidence. When I say the word confidence, some of you maybe say, that's a bad word. No, it's a good word. Confidence. Confidence. I have confidence in the truth. I have the boldness that what I'm speaking is the Word of God and it's truth. No man forbidding him. So here in this book, we've seen the Jewish people reject and reject and reject and reject and reject. And though they would read the Old Testament, though they would hear the rabbi, they did not perceive the truth. And that can happen to all of us. And my only question is this. I ask my own self this question too. And I should be affected more than any of you because I've been studying it and teaching it. And what has it done? How has it affected me? How has it affected you? Is it causing us to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We have a young man here in Nathaniel just starting on his journey. Soft heart. And soak it in, Nathaniel. Just learn. And teach me more, Lord. Here am I. Whatever you want, Lord. And I'm wide open. And keep that hunger and thirst for righteousness. God bless you. I trust that you've examined your own heart and that in truth you see both a young lady and an old lady. You perceive. You see and you perceive. You hear